for your introduction. My name is Tomotaka Kuwahara. My affiliation is Riken IP, Riken ICMS, and Keio University. And my main affiliation is Riken IP. This is the Center for Artificial Intelligence. Today's presentation title is Area Law of Non-Critical Ground State in 1D Long-Range Interacting Systems. This work is a collaboration with Keiji Saito in Keio University. And this paper, this work has been already uploaded in archive in the last August 1908-11547. Okay. I first show the contents of my talk. I first show the introduction to the area law conjecture. Maybe some of you know the area law conjecture very well, but I show the very basic property of the area law conjectures. And then I show some results on the long-range area law. I mean, this long-range area law means the area law in the long-range interaction systems. I show the results, including the previous results and our main results. And then I show the proof technique how to derive the long-range area law in our theorem. And finally, I show the summary of this talk. Okay, first I will show the introduction of the area law conjecture. Before showing the area law conjecture, I first explain the entanglement. Entanglement area law. In this study, I consider the ground state of some Hamiltonian, and I denote it by zero state. Then, for this ground state, we can define the entanglement entropy for some subregion A. And this as you know very well, the entanglement entropy is given by the von Neumann entropy with respect to the reduced density matrix in this subregion A. Then the area law says that the entanglement entropy S rho A is proportional to the surface region of the subsystem A. Usually, the most general upper bound is so-called the volume law, which is proportional to the size of the subsystem size. But the area law is very strong, impose a very strong constraint on the entanglement entropy, because this is only the surface region of the subsystem. Then the area law conjecture says that for arbitrary short-range interacting system with order one spectral gap, the ground state satisfies the area law. But this order one spectral gap means that the energy difference between the ground state and the first excited state is lower bounded by some non-zero constant order one. And in this, such a gapped quantum many-body system is corresponding to the non-critical phases. I mean, not the critical phases, but the non-critical phases. So it is expected that in non-critical phases, the very non-local quantum phenomena is highly suppressed. So area law conjecture is believed to be true for arbitrary short-range interacting systems. But this conjecture is extremely difficult to prove. Then I will show why the area law is important in the context of quantum information. Considering the importance, convenient to consider tensor network representation of the ground state on d-dimensional lattice. If we can describe the ground state by using the tensor network, then this ground state must satisfy the area law. So in this sense, the area law of the entanglement entropy is a necessary condition for the tensor network representations. In the 1D case, this tensor network representation is a matrix product representation. And in higher dimensional case, the tensor network representation means PEPS representation. In other words, if the area law is violated in some class of the ground state, so in this case, all the algorithm and the analysis to utilize the tensor network representation also collapse. So in this sense, the area law or not is critically important problem. For example, the DMRG algorithm breaks down and the classification based on the matrix, but the matrix paradox state is not is 1D. So the PEPs, classification of the quantum phases based on the PEPs also graphs. So many of the existence analysis is based on the area law. So the to prove the area law in rigorous way is a very important question. By the way, I showed that the area law is a necessary condition for the tensor network representation, but the converse is known to be not true. So area law is not the sufficient condition for the tensor network representation. Indeed, there is a quantum state which satisfies the area law of entanglement, but cannot be described by the tensor network representation, which is given in the paper in NJP in 2016. So the proof of the tensor network representation of the ground state is much more difficult question than the area law conjecture.
Counterexample is not the ground state of any local Hamiltonian.
Yeah, not the ground state. Okay, so I will show several approaches to tackle the area law conjectures. There are three approaches. I think there are three main approaches, and the first approach is quasi-adiabatic continuation. In this approach, we first parameterize the Hamiltonian by using parameter lambda. And then when we consider the ground state evolution with respect to the parameter, then this parameter evolution is formally given by this form by using the perturbation theory. This z lambda is the ground state of the h lambda, and d lambda is some operators which is characterized by the perturbation theory. And the point is that d lambda is usually very, very highly non-local, but it is proved that if the h lambda is gapped, then d lambda is given by the quasi-local form. The quasi-local form means that the interaction length decays sub-exponentially, which is given by Hastings and Shao-Gambe. So in the approach of the quasi-adiabatic continuation, we first consider some target ground states, 0 lambda 1, and also consider other trivial ground states, z lambda 0. The trivial ground state means that this state clearly satisfies the area law. For example, given by the ground state of the commuting Hamiltonian. Then, if we assume that from h lambda 0 to h lambda 1 is connected by a gapped path, then the target state z lambda 1 and the trivial ground state z lambda 0 is connected by this kind of unitary operators. This is like a time evolution by the quasi-local operators. And yeah, because of the gap conditions from the path to the lambda 0 to lambda 1, this d lambda is always quasi-local. Then, by using the small incremental entangling theorem, we can put the area law of 0 lambda 1 from the area law of the 0 lambda 0. This small incremental entangling theorem characterizes entanglement increasing rate in the time evolution. This is this is given by the form of the time evolution, so we can apply the small SIE theorem to this case, and we can prove the area law for the target state. However, in the approach of the quasi-adiabatic continuation, we assume these very, very strong conditions, and usually the existence of the gapped path is an extremely difficult problem to prove. Because in this approach, we need to prove the gap condition for the parameterized Hamiltonian. But proving the gap condition is an extremely difficult question, as has been shown by Kavita, Perez-Garcia, and Ulf. It is sometimes undecidable and in principle, impossible to prove. So the proving the adiabatic path is a very, very difficult problem. And second approach is utilize the clustering property. The clustering theorem is known to hold for arbitrary gapped ground states. The clustering theorem implies the exponential decay of bipartite correlations. For example, let's consider the two operator AX and BY and consider the operator correlation between them. Then, if the ground state is gapped, this operator operator correlation is bounded from above by some exponentially small quantities. With respect to the distance between x and y, and the correlation length xi is upper bounded by 1 over delta. So it is proved that if the spectral gap is finite, then the ground state has finite correlation length. So we have intuition that for arbitrary subsystem A is entangled with outside of this subsystem only with some small distance of xi. So the entanglement entropy is expected to be proportional to the surface area of this subregion times the correlation length xi. But this intuition is extremely difficult to make rigorous mathematically. And only in one-dimensional cases, this intuition has been proved by Brander and Horodek in 2013. But even in this result, the entanglement entropy is not proportional to the correlation length, but proportional to the exponential of xi. So it is still a bit far from the intuitive pictures.
So, sorry, can you just said it's not proportional to the correlation length, it's proportional to what?
Oh, sorry. We expect that the entanglement entropy SLOA should be smaller than xi lambda. But Brander Horodek result is exponential order xi. So this is different from the intuitive pictures. And it is known that this, the upper bound is probably optimal from the numerical studies. And the approach to the higher dimensional area law is to generalize the Brander and Horodek result to higher dimensional cases. And as long as I know, there are no quantum states which satisfy the clustering property but violate the area law. So it is possible to generalize the result to higher dimensional case, but I think this approach is quite very, very difficult. And so far, there are no partial results, even no partial results for high dimensional cases. And third approach is the AGSP-based approach. I think this approach is the most promising approach to tackle the area law conjecture in high dimensional systems. The AGSP is a short name of the approximate ground state projection. And I denote it by K, the operator K. And the AGSP approach characterizes the relationship between the AGSP property and the entanglement entropy. The AGSP is given by your approximate projector onto the ground state, and it is characterized by some approximation error, epsilon, and Schmidt rank D. The clever point of the AGSP approach is to characterize the AGSP parameters to the upper bound of the entanglement entropy. So the upper bounding the entanglement entropy is now replaced by the construction of the good AGSP operators. I will explain this approach in more details afterward. And by using this AGSP approach, the 1D area law is completely solved. first solved by Hastings in 2007. And this result is highly improved by Arad, Kitaev, Landau, Vajiran in 2013. And by using this AGSP approach, we can obtain some partial results beyond 1D. These two results appeared in the last year. The first result is area row for tree graph with fractal dimension, which with a dimension larger than 2. This result is almost not trivial, but the straightforward application of the Arad, Kitaev, Landau, Vajiran technique to the tree graph, and very easy to prove the area row in this tree graph. But the result is more exciting because he gives the polynomial time algorithm to obtain the ground state. And second one is, I think, more exciting. This is also given by Anurag and Itai Arad and David Gosset. In this study, the sub-volume law of the two-dimensional system has been given for frustration-free Hamiltonians. And this is the first breakthrough to go beyond the volume law of the entanglement entropy in high-dimensional systems. This study still contains some non-trivial assumption on the local spectral gap, but I think this is one of the breakthroughs in the field of the area row conjecture. But anyway, the area row conjecture is a highly challenging problem in high-dimensional systems. Okay, so I show the long-range interacting system, I mean the review results on the long-range area row. I first show the setup of our systems. The system we consider is very simple. I consider the 1D long-range Hamiltonian with n sites, and each of sites has a local Hilbert dimension d. The Hamiltonian is given by this form. This hi is a local potential on the site I, and hij is a bipartite interaction between the site I and site j. The long rangeness of the interaction is characterized by the parameter alpha. The norm of the interaction strength is upper bounded by g over rij to the power of alpha. This norm is the operator norm, which is a maximum singular values. In this Hamiltonian, I consider the two-body interacting Hamiltonian, but the result is generalized arbitrary k-body k-body interacting Hamiltonian. And other important point is that this kind of 1D long-range Hamiltonian is experimentally realizable in recent cold atom setup. For example, this kind of long-range transverse Ising model has been realized by using a cold atom setup, and exponent alpha is tunable from 0 to 3. In very recent experimental setup, I remember that 53 qubits can be controllable in this kind of Hamiltonians. For this Hamiltonian, I consider the gapped unique ground state, which I denote zero, and define the spectral gap, which is the energy difference between the ground state and the first excited state by delta.
So question, what is Rij?
Sorry?
What is Rij?
Rij. Yeah, Rij is the distance between the I and J. Okay. In this setup, the area row is defined by this form. In the case of the one-dimensional systems, the boundary is defined by a point. So the proportional to the boundary of the area means that the entanglement entropy is bounded by some constant, which is independent of the system size. We split the total system into the left side and right side and consider the von Neumann entropy with respect to the reduced density matrix in the region L. And in the case of the long-range interacting systems, the parameter alpha is very important. And it is known that for alpha larger than or equal to 3, it is known that the universality class is the same as the short-range limit. Short-range limit is, means alpha is equal to infinity. This point has been heuristically proved in classical cases in 2092. And this is also believed to be true in quantum long-range interacting system. And as long as I know, there are no Nobel quantum phases which is induced by the long-range interacting system with alpha larger than or equal to 3. So we want to derive the area law for the non-trivial region is alpha is smaller than 3. So the first question is can we prove area law for alpha smaller than 3 is the first question. And if this is true, we want to know what is the critical alpha c to ensure the area law. This is the second question. Before showing our main results, I want to show several known results on the long-range area law. The first result is an explicit counterexample of the entanglement area law for long-range interacting systems for alpha larger than or equal to 1. In considering the free fermion system with long-range hopping, even the gapped ground states shows a logarithmic violation of the area law for alpha smaller than 1 or equal to 1. This is given by Eisert and Osborne. And in numerical level, the sublogarithmic violation was numerically indicated for alpha smaller than or equal to 3. In this numerical calculation, the transverse Ising model with long-range interaction has been considered. But usually, the sublogarithmic violation is extremely difficult to identify by the numerical approaches. So this result is a bit subtle. And indeed, I proved that this indication is not true because we can prove the area law for alpha larger than 2. And the third example is the area law at finite temperatures. By using the analysis by Mikhail Ulf in 2018, we can also prove the the upper bound of the mutual information for finite temperature Gibbs states. By using the analysis, we can obtain the upper bound of the mutual information by this form. This ILR is the mutual information between left side and right side at finite temperatures. And this is upper boundary from by constant times the norm of the boundary interaction. This boundary interactions H lambda L picks up all the interaction between the left side and right side. Left side and right side. Yeah. And by straightforward calculations, we can ensure that this norm of the boundary interaction is proportional to a constant when alpha is larger than 2. So if the alpha is larger than 2, this mutual information is upper bounded by a constant. So the Gibbs state satisfies the area law for alpha larger than 2. And usually, the Gibbs state property is stronger than the ground state property. So I expect that the condition of alpha larger than 2 seems to be necessary for the long-range area law for ground state. Okay, so I will next show some approaches to the long-range area law in theoretical ways. As I have explained, there are three approaches, the quasi-adiabatic continuations, and you utilize the clustering properties and the AGSP-based approaches. The first approach of the quasi-adiabatic continuation has been already done by ZS Gong et al. In their study, under the assumption of the existence of adiabatic path to the trivial ground states, They prove the area law for the long-range interact systems for alpha larger than 4. Their results can be applied to high-dimensional systems, and in higher dimensional systems, the alpha should be larger than 2D plus 2. So, yeah, but this assumption is very, very strong because under the assumption of the existence of the quasi adiabatic path, the area law conjecture in higher dimensional system is immediately solved. So, but even under this very strong assumption, the area law has been rigorously proved for alpha larger than 4. And the second approach to utilize clustering properties almost hopeless because gapped ground states in long-range interacting system usually shows power law decay of the correlation, and this is also upper bound. This is also rigorously proved by Hastings and Coma in 2006. So the gapped ground states show the power law decay, but there exists a counterexample. That there exists a quantum state which shows the sub-exponential decay of the correlation, but shows the volume law of the entanglement entropy, which is given by using the random error state by the Hastings. But this is, I think this is a numerical result, so not the analytic. But anyway, the power law decay of the correlation is much, weaker than the sub-exponential decay of the correlation. So I think it is almost hopeless to derive, to derive the area law of the entanglement entropy for generic quantum states which are the power law decay of the correlations. And the third one is the AGSP-based approach, and this is our approach to obtain the area law of the long-range interacting systems. Before showing our main result, I first show the condition for the exponent alpha to satisfy the area law. For the purpose, I first define the block-block interaction VXY. This block-block interaction picks up all the interaction between the subsystem X and subsystem Y. I denote it by VXY, and this is given by this form. And the condition for the area law to be satisfied in long-range interacting system is algebraic decay of the norm of the VXY, which is given in this form. The norm of the VXY is smaller than G0 times R to the power of minus alpha bar. And this R is equal to the distance between X and Y. And this alpha bar is connected to the original power law decay exponent of the interaction. And when we consider the generic quantum many-body systems, after straightforward calculation, we can obtain the lower bound of alpha bar is larger than or equal to alpha minus 2. So if the alpha is larger than 2, then alpha bar is also larger than 0. So in generic model, the critical exponent is given by 2. And this result is the most general case. This inequality is obtained for most general cases. So if we restrict ourselves to specific models, we can obtain a better condition for alpha. For example, in considering the free fermionic systems, we can obtain the inequality of alpha bar is larger than or equal to alpha minus 3 over 2. So in this case, alpha larger than 3 over 2 implies alpha bar larger than 0. So in this case, in the free fermionic systems, the critical exponent is equal to 3 over 2. And under the condition of this block-block interactions, we can derives the upper bound of the entanglement entropy in this form. Yeah, in this case, the C is constant and D is the local dimension. D is the dimension of the local Hilbert space and delta is a spectral gap. So if the C, D, delta is a constant of order one, then this entanglement entropy is bounded from above by order one constant. So this implies the area law of the entanglement entropy. And there are two remarks on this upper bound of the entanglement entropies. The first remark is in the limit of the alpha bar to zero, then or the alpha to two, then the exponent 1+2 over alpha bar also diverges to infinity. So the upper bound completely goes to infinity, and the upper bound collapses. So we cannot obtain any meaningful upper bound for alpha smaller than or equal to 2. So the first question is there an explicit example to violate the area law for alpha smaller than or equal to 2? From some numerical studies, there exists some logarithmic violation of the area law for alpha smaller than or equal to, but usually the logarithmic violation is very difficult to identify in the numerical study. So I want to know some kind of analytically solvable example to violate the area law for alpha smaller than 2. Uh-huh.
So you know whether, so you have log b over the gap, you know that this is always larger than 1?
Uh-huh. Oh, I see, yeah. You mean if this is smaller than 1, then, usually, yeah, we need some constant C. This is always larger than 1, yeah.
So when alpha is less than 2, then the block-block interaction becomes too large.
Yeah.
And that is the problem.
Yeah. Sorry. The second problem is even the area law may be violated for alpha smaller or equal to 2, it may be still possible to derive the subvolume law for the entanglement entropy in long-range interacting systems. So the second question is, can we prove the subvolume law for alpha smaller than or equal to 2? But in our analysis, for alpha is smaller than or equal to 2, our analysis completely collapses, so we can obtain any kind of interesting result for alpha smaller than or equal to 2. The second remark is the short-range limit, or the limit to the infinity of alpha bar. In this case, if the alpha bar is equal to infinity, the power exponent converges to 1, so the upper bound of the entanglement entropy is given by this form, the log d to the power of 3 over delta, and this upper bound is the same as area law bound by Arad, Kitaev, Landau, Bajirani in short-range interacting systems. So in this sense, our area law bound is a natural extension of the short-range interacting area law result. Okay. And as one of the applications of our area law result, we can also derive the MPS representation of the ground state. Here, we want to approximate the ground state by using the matrix product state with some bond dimension B. And in order to approximate the ground state by some matrix product state by error of 1 over poly n, it is sufficient to consider the bond dimension B, which is quasi-polynomial with respect to the system size. In more detail, B is now given by exponential of the logarithmic n to the power of 5 over 2. So from this result, the quasi-polynomial bond dimension is enough to approximate the ground state. But this is still weaker than the expected bond dimension, which is polynomial to the system size. And in the case of the short-range interacting systems, the necessary bond dimension D is equal to exponential of logarithmic n to the power of 3 over 4. So this is much weaker than the short-range interacting system. So my first question is, can we improve it to the polynomial form? And the second question is that in this result, I proved that the existence of the matrix product state to approximate the ground state. But it is another problem how to construct such matrix product state in numerical calculations or numerical algorithms. And in this, on these questions for the short-range interacting systems, the Landau, Vajirani, and Vidic have established some numerical algorithm to calculate the ground states, I mean, by using MPS ansatz. So my question is whether we can extend the technique by Landau, Vajirani, Vidic to the present case of the long-range interacting systems. Okay, so now I will show the proof outline to derive the long-range area law. This is a bit technical and maybe difficult to follow. But anyway, I will show the essence of the proof outline. As I have explained, we take the, in order to prove the area law for long-range interact systems, we take the approach of the AGSP. The AGSP is an approximate ground state projection, and this is denoted by K. The rough definition of the AGSP is that AGSP does not change the ground state, but any excited state vanishes, approximately vanished by the AGSP operators. And this AGSP operator is characterized by three parameters, delta k, epsilon k, and dk. The definition of these three parameters is that there exists some quantum state zero tilde, which is invariant by the AGSP k. And this zero tilde is close to the original ground state by the parameter delta k. And any quantum state which is orthogonal to the zero tilde state vanishes by the AGSP operator with a precision epsilon k. And the Schmidt rank of the AGSP operator is smaller than dk. This Schmidt rank is defined with respect to the cut of the the left cut and right side, left side and right side. The point of the AGSP approach is the good AGSP ensures the finite overlap between the ground state and the low rank quantum state. This point is characterized by the so-called bootstrapping lemma. In the bootstrapping lemma, if the square of the epsilon k times dk is smaller than 1 over 2, then there exists a quantum state psi such that the Schmidt rank of psi is smaller than dk, and psi is close to the ground state by this, by this quantities. If the epsilon k and delta k is sufficiently small compared to the square root of dk, then this quantity is very, very small. So the Schmidt rank of the quantum state psi is smaller than dk, and this quantum state is very close to the ground state. So in the AGSP approach, the essential problem is to obtain the, to construct the AGSP operator which satisfies the condition of the bootstrapping lemma. And in order to construct the good AGSP, it is crucial to transform the original Hamiltonian to more convenient form. And in our approach, there are two-step transform of the original Hamiltonian. The first one is the interaction truncation, and the second one is the multi-energy truncations. In the first transformation, the is given by the interaction truncations. In this approach, we first truncate the long-range interactions, but only around the boundary, because if we truncate the, all the long-range interaction, the norm difference between the truncated Hamiltonian and the original Hamiltonian is as large as the order of n, then the gap condition may not be preserved. So I only truncate the long-range interaction around the boundary. And In order to characterize interaction truncation, we decompose the total system into Q plus two blocks, and this Q is even. And this edge, in the edge blocks is, edge blocks B0 and BQ plus one has arbitrary length, but the bulk blocks B1 to BQ has a finite length of L. And in the interaction truncations, we truncate all the interactions between non-adjacent blocks, and only the adjacent block interaction is remained. Then the truncated Hamiltonian is now given by this form. This HS is the internal interaction in some block HS, and HS S plus one is the block-block interaction between the block BS and block BS plus one. And because now I truncate the long-range interaction only around the boundary, so the norm difference between the original Hamiltonian and the truncated Hamiltonian is not so large. Roughly speaking, we can obtain the lower bounds of the delta t. Delta t is the spectral gap for the truncated Hamiltonian, and this is larger than delta minus q times L to the power minus alpha bar. And the ground state of the truncated Hamiltonian is close to the original ground state by your error of q times error to L to the minus alpha bar over delta. So if q times L to the power of minus alpha bar is sufficiently small, then the property of the truncated Hamiltonian and the original Hamiltonian is almost the same. The second transformation of the Hamiltonian is the multi-energy truncations. In the construction of the AGSP operator from the Hamiltonian, it is of essential to suppress the norm of the Hamiltonian. In this multi-energy truncations, by the energy truncation of the original Hamiltonians, we suppress the norm with the ground state property not changed. For this purpose, we truncate the energy spectrum of each of the blocks up to a constant constant tau. So by the transforming from HS to the HS tilde, the spectrum is the same up to the truncation energy tau, but beyond the truncation energy, the energy spectrum, the spectral property is different from the original ones. And in this multi-energy truncation, the block-block interaction is not changed. Only the internal energy Hamiltonian is transformed. And because the norm of the HS tilde is now upper bounded by truncation energy tau, so the norm of the effective Hamiltonian HT tilde is now of order Q tau. The essential problem of the multi-energy truncation is whether the ground state property and the gap condition is still preserved after the multi-energy truncations. This is a very important problem, and by extending the analysis by Arad and me and Landau on the single energy truncations, we can prove that the truncation energy is larger than log Q, this Q is the number of the block, then the spectral gap, delta T tilde is the spectral gap for the effective Hamiltonian, is larger than delta T, a half of the delta T, and this the ground state is close to the original one by Q times the exponential minus order tau.
If I wanted to apply the multi-energy truncation to 2D systems.
2D systems, yeah. If we apply the 2D systems, this result cannot be obtained.
Oh, okay.
And if the tau is sufficiently large, then we can obtain the similar results for the two-dimensional system, but the tau should be very, very large. So the point is that the block-block interaction is bounded by order one constant. This speciality of the one dimensional case is crucial to obtain this result.
So if tau is larger than the boundary between the two blocks,
yeah,
then okay.
Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry. So now, so if we take the truncation at tau much larger than the logarithmic of Q, then we can ensure that the effective Hamiltonian H the T has almost the same property as the truncated Hamiltonian HT. And in this case, in this case, the norm of the HT tilde is as large as the order of Q log Q. Then by by using this effective Hamiltonian HT tilde, we can construct a good AGSP operator by using a Chebyshev polynomial. And then the epsilon k is now given by this form, and dk, this is the Schmidt rank, and epsilon k is the accuracy of the AGSP operators. Then epsilon k and dk is roughly given by this form. And in order to preserve the property of the original Hamiltonian, the Q and L satisfy these conditions. Q times L to the power minus alpha bar is much larger than smaller one. Then from these conditions, we can prove that the condition for the bootstrapping lemma, which is epsilon square of the epsilon k times dk smaller than 1 over 2, is satisfied by appropriately choosing the q, m, and l. So in this construction, we can prove the condition for the bootstrapping lemma. Based on this analysis, the proof of the area of the entanglement entropy is given by these approaches. We first prove the existence of quantum state phi, which is close to the original ground state by 1 over 2, and with a Schmidt rank of satisfy this inequality. Then, based on this quantum state phi, we construct a set of AGSP operator KP with AGSP parameters delta P, epsilon P, and DP. In the limit of the P to the infinity, this AGSP operator becomes the exact ground state projections. Then I define the parameter gamma P bar like this form. This gamma p bar is proportional to the epsilon p and delta p. So in the limit of the epsilon p and delta p to zero, then gamma p bar is also approaches to zero. And by using this gamma p bar, we can obtain the upper bound of the entanglement entropy for the ground states like this form. If the gamma p bar is decays sufficiently with the parameter p, then this terms converges to a constant values, then we can obtain the area law for the entanglement entropy. And the approximation, the truncation error of the Schmidt rank is given by this form. Yeah, because this KP has a Schmidt rank DP, and this quantum state phi has a Schmidt rank this form. Then by approximating the ground state by this quantum states, we can also obtain the MPS representations. The error is now given by the gamma P bar. So by using this inequality, we can prove the MPS approximation by the of the quantum ground states. Okay, I summarize the talk. In this talk, I consider the 1D long-range interacting system, which is characterized by exponent alpha, and the under the condition of the block-block interaction algebraically decays, the area law is obtained in this form. And and alpha bar is always larger than, larger than or equal to, alpha minus 2. And the MPS approximation is obtained for the bond dimension, which is quasi-polynomial with respect to the system size. And open questions are these four problems. The first one is the existence of an explicit example to violate the area law for alpha larger than or smaller than or equal to 2. And the second question is the possibility to prove the subvolume law for alpha large, smaller than or equal to 2. And the third question is this bond dimension is quasi-polynomial with respect to the system size. So the question is whether the improvement to the polynomial form is possible or not. And the fourth question is how to construct to establish a numerical algorithm to construct the MPS with these properties. That's all of my presentation. Thank you for listening.
Questions? I have the last question for Isabel. Yes. So you mentioned on the blackboard over there.
Yes.
That the conjecture states that entropy is like the correlation length and the area. I think that conjecture is also shown to be true by Arad, Kitai, Landau, Vazirani.
This one?
Yeah. So is your theorem consistent?
In this case, you mean this is like this form?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So for short range interaction, correlation length is 1 over gap. Yeah, 1 over gap.
Oh, yeah.
But does your bound also satisfy that property?
No. In this case, the dependence of the delta is not the inverse of the delta, but the inverse of delta 1 plus 2 over alpha bar.
Sure, but correlation length is also not 1 over delta.
Yeah, but in this case, we consider the long-range interaction system, so the correlation decay is algebraic.
Okay.
So it is how to define the correlation length, because the correlation length assumes the exponential decay of the correlation.
You can define it as the point after which the correlation is less than half.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I don't know.
All right, no problem. Okay, more questions?
So if I understand this question, so you're showing that these ground states are states that cannot be approximated with MPS, but the correlations decay algebraically.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because now the bond dimension is very large, quasi-polynomial.
Right.
So if the bond dimension is constant, then the MPS is expected to show the exponential decay. But I think in this case, MPS can show the power law decay of the correlation.
Yeah. All right, if no more questions, just thank you for a nice talk.
Thank you very much.